This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Congressman Tom Perriello is the incumbent Democrat who is running for re-election here in Virginia's 5th District. It's an honor to welcome him live to the program. How are you, Congressman?
I am doing well. How are you doing, Coy?
Very good. Do you sleep at all these days, or is it just little cat naps when you can get them?
Little cat naps in the car and here and there, but we're very, very excited right now. We are getting about 60% of undecided voters to break our way. We really feel like the momentum is with us because people want a fighter. They want someone who's willing to stay where they stand. And, you know, Senator Hurd had a great chance to close the deal, but just wouldn't give any specifics. And I think voters are looking for something better than that right now.
Yeah, let me ask you, what is it you think the particular message that you're taking to voters that is most resonating with those in the middle, the swing voters, who most of the voters here in Virginia aren't necessarily on the far right or the far left. Most of us are in the middle. And what do you think is turning those voters your way here?
Well, I think right now, you know, people look at the situation where this country and this community is in a very tough economic situation. And you can either go with the kind of fighter who wants to be in the huddle, wants the ball, wants to move the ball down the field and help create jobs, and someone else who wants to sit on the sidelines and complain. And people are looking for someone who says, here's where I stand, and I'm going to put in as many hours as it takes to help people get economic relief. And from Senator Hurd, I think they've seen the kind of career politician that really turns people off. He's flip-flopped on raising taxes and on trade and on earmarks and has just tried to avoid specifics. And, you know, for me, I don't expect people to agree with me on every issue, but I expect them to know the kind of values I bring to the table and the kind of work ethic. And I think that's why people are coming our way, is to say, hey, you know, it's this guy is a fighter, and he can deliver, and he deserves a little more time.
We are talking with Congressman Tom Perriello, live on Charlottesville Right Now. Let me get you to respond to something that's been running here on this radio station, a Robert Hurd campaign ad, which claims that you are a rubber stamp for the Obama-Pelosi administration. What is your reaction to being described as a rubber stamp?
Well, you know, I think they've tried this argument and it's failed. I'm ranked one of the 15 most independent members of Congress by the National Journal. I've broken with the leadership on bailouts, on budgets that weren't balanced, on gun rights. And I think what's really different is that I run on my own record. I don't try to hide behind other people's names. And the fact is that I've challenged both political parties that need it. I've voted to investigate corrupt, powerful chairmen, some of the most powerful people in Washington. I've challenged the elite consensus on the economy that has backed the bailouts and bad trade deals and argued to get back to a build it, make it, grow it in America agenda, going against China for manipulating its currency. What we need is not a rubber stamp in either direction. We need people who understand how broken the system is and are willing to take it on. And I think the reason that you've seen so many millions of dollars come in through these corporate front groups against me is that I've been willing to stand up to that kind of bought and sold approach to politics that Senator Hurd's done for 10 years in Richmond. So, you know, they've tried really hard. It's almost like how hard Virgil tried with the discolored face and the scary New York lawyer thing. And after a while, people say, really, that's all you got? It's a one-trick pony thing? You don't have anything to offer. And, you know, I hear a lot of conservatives come up to me and say that they're, you know, pretty embarrassed by the fact that that seems to be all Hurd wants to talk about is Pelosi and Obama and not his 10-year record of raising taxes and not acknowledging the hard work and results I produced.
We're talking with Congressman Tom Perriello, and the phone lines are open for our listeners at 977-1070. Floyd is on the program in Albemarle County. Floyd, thanks for the call. Go right ahead.
Hey, thank you for the time. I have a question for you. The congressman, we still have a representative form of government, and during the health care debate, the last day, actually the Friday when the vote was taken, I called into your office, had a lot of difficulty getting through to a human, and finally did and expressed my viewpoint. And I asked your staffer, I said, I assume there's been, you know, lots of people calling, emailing, and faxing and such. She said, oh, yeah, we've had thousands and thousands of calls. And I said, can you just give me some thumbnail about how the calls were running? She said, well, I can't do that because Congressman Perriello told us that we are not supposed to count the calls for and against because he didn't consider that to be representative of the constituents. Can you explain that?
Sure. First of all, one of the problems we had in the healthcare debate was that these national groups funded by the health insurance companies were doing national phone banking, which meant most of the calls we were getting into our office were not even people from the district, in most cases not even from Virginia, and it was very frustrating because it made it difficult for constituents like you to make it through the line. And so, again, I think this was an example of when, you know, the corporate interest groups are able to spend unlimited money, it really gets in the way of representative democracy. That's why I went out and tried to cut through that filter and do so many town hall meetings, also meeting with all the doctors, the nurses, the hospital administrators. And what I did hear from people was that there was general consensus that we needed reform, that the system was broken, and there was not necessarily consensus on the right ways to go forward. But there were a lot of people at those town halls that Senator Hurt admits he didn't attend a single one of. He also admits he didn't read the bill, who said, you know, I want to be able to go to bed at night knowing that I'm not going to have to worry about the fact that my child has a pre-existing condition and may not be able to get coverage. I heard from small business owners throughout the district that they were sick of paying 20% more than big businesses for the same health care plans, and that the system shouldn't be rigged for the big and the powerful. It should give a chance to that small business owner. And they're very excited about the fact that they get this 35% tax credit immediately for the premiums that they've been paying. Women were paying 45% more for the same plans. Under this, being a woman is no longer considered a pre-existing condition in our health care market. Young people who are going to be able to stay on their parents' plan until their 26th birthday, hearing from doctors who said, you know, we can't keep covering Medicare if these reimbursement cuts come in and are glad that we did the doc fix. In fact, I supported a permanent fix of that. But we went after the people who were cheating in the Medicare system, got that money back, and gave it, kept it all in the system for those who worked hard and played by the rules. I consider this, frankly, a very conservative approach. Go after the people that are cheating the system, keep every single dollar in the program to extend the life of Medicare by a generation, and I think that that's the sort of thing people said they wanted me to do, go and make the tough choices to make sure Medicare is there for our seniors and that our doctors stay with the program.
We're talking with Congressman Tom Perriello of Virginia's 5th District, and the phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. The election, of course, on Tuesday, and the rally, the Get Out the Vote rally tomorrow with the president. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Congressman, let me ask you before we go back to the phones, the economy and jobs, clearly, you know, the bread and butter issue here in this year's election. I am personally shocked and a bit dismayed that the wars overseas are not more of an election issue, but I get it. I understand. So given that fact that jobs and the economy are such an issue, explain to us the difference between you and your opponent, Virginia Senator Robert Hurt. It's my understanding that he continues to support legislation or this law that pays businesses to take jobs overseas and has said that he is not going to fight that. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, I think there are a few real problems. First, a lot of his money is coming from the companies that outsource American jobs. He's taken $120,000 from companies that Lou Dobbs calls the greatest outsourcers of American jobs. The independent expenditures are being funded primarily by those who've given up on the idea of American jobs and an American middle class. It's always easier in politics to stand with the powerful than the people, and I think that's what you get from Senator Hurt. But what you've also seen is he's been unwilling to say one place that he differs from the Bush administration policies that got us into this mess. So you can stand with the people that took this country to the brink of a depression, or you can stand with the people who stood on that brink and said, not on our watch, we will prevent that depression. The policies that Senator Hurt has supported for a decade led to us losing 740,000 jobs a month. We have had 9 straight months of private sector job growth. We have a long way to go, but do you want to go back to the people that bankrupted the country and we're losing 740,000 jobs a month, or the people who've helped produce 9 months of private sector job growth? So, you know, this is just one of those questions, and I think the reason we're surging ahead in the polls is because people want a fighter. They want someone who's willing to stand up and say, this is what got us into this mess, and this is what's going to get us out of it. So, you know, particularly given, you know, that Senator Hurt and I share the part of the district that's been hit the hardest by outsourcing. Manufacturing towns that lost tens of thousands of jobs, thousands under Senator Hurt's watch, to flip-flop on trade, to support the outsourcing loophole because the big corporations are sending the money. You know, that's not what we need. We've got to have the people who believe that we can build it, make it, and grow it in America again, that the American business and the American worker can still outcompete the world and not the people who've just given up on that.
Congressman Tom Perriello is our guest here on Charlottesville right now. Let's go to Ray, waiting very patiently on the line in Charlottesville. Ray, thank you for the call. Go right ahead.
Yes. I think before the health care bill was even drafted and when there was a lot of discussion about it, I heard a survey saying that 78% of Americans were pleased with their health care system. And I'd like to ask Congressman Perriello, if 78% of people are in favor of whatever they're doing, how can you call that broke?
Well, actually, over 70% of Americans supported the idea of health care reform. People liked parts of the system. They generally liked the doctor that they had. They liked that they had coverage if they were lucky enough to have it. They didn't like the tricks and things that the insurance companies pulled, and they didn't like the skyrocketing cost of premiums, which Republicans seem to think just started this year. So the overwhelming consensus was we needed to do reform. There was also strong support for Medicare. But under the Republican administration of the last 8 years, Medicare was scheduled to start going bankrupt in just 7 years, for a program where we have promised that to our seniors. So people said, yes, they liked Medicare, but they also wanted to make sure that it was there in the years ahead and that their doctors stayed in it. And that was not what we were on course to do. Talking to our hospitals, particularly in our rural communities, said we simply can't keep our doors open unless we get health care reform, which is why the majority of hospitals in my district strongly supported the bill. The ranks of the uninsured were growing, and all of us who have private insurance were secretly being taxed for the cost of the uninsured. That's not a particularly fair system, the old system, which says the people who work hard, play by the rules, have their private insurance, have to secretly pay for those who are uninsured. This is one based more on personal responsibility and accountability. So overwhelmingly, people did support reform. Now, there are three separate parts of the bill. There's a bill for those who don't have insurance to begin with that creates a competitive, affordable exchange with tax credits for people to afford health care. The second, for those who have insurance, means that the insurance companies simply have to play by basic rules of decency and fairness. They can't kick you off your insurance if you've been paying your premiums. They can't institute lifetime caps. They have to cover pre- and postnatal care. The third category, of course, is Medicare, and that was one where we probably made the most important advances, which is to extend the life of Medicare, to go after the people cheating the system, to get to correct the reimbursements for doctors and make sure they're getting paid a decent amount, though we need to do more, and go after this nickel and diming of seniors. That's why I've been endorsed by the Committee to Protect Social Security and Medicare, a group that's about a third Republicans, a third Democrats, a third Independents. Their only goal is to make sure that Social Security and Medicare are protected. They gave me their boxing gloves because they know that I've been out there fighting for seniors. I've also been endorsed by the Veterans of Foreign Wars PAC and got an A-plus rating from the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans Association. There were only 20 members of Congress out of all the House members and all the Senate members who got that grade because I've also been making sure we get our health care promises met to our veterans and that we expand programs in mental health and rural health and economic opportunities. So I think these were things that people wanted, and we made some tough decisions and did a lot of work to try to deliver on that.
We're talking with Congressman Tom Perriello. Let's go to Bill in Charlottesville. Bill, thank you for the call. You're on the program. Go right ahead.
Congressman, I'd like to find out what your stance is on fixing the alternative minimum tax, at least for 2010, and perhaps even going forward. There was a patch for 2009 made in January 2009, and nothing has been done by the Congress in 2010 that affects a lot of taxpayers, a lot of middle-class taxpayers.
Bill, thank you for the call. And Congressman, as you answer that, also discuss the Bush tax cuts and your position on that.
Sure. I did support the patch for the alternative minimum tax and think that that's something that we need to fix permanently rather than playing games with year after year. The original goal of the alternative minimum tax was a very good one, which is some of the richest individuals and biggest corporations were avoiding all federal taxes through various loopholes, and that there should be some minimum that the GEs of the world have to pay. That was a good intent. It has come to get many middle-class families into that same bracket, which was not the intent, and we have been fixing that on a year-to-year basis so that people aren't caught in it. I think it's something that needs to be dealt with more permanently. Same thing with the doc fix, which was something created for illogical reasons that we have to fix every year. In terms of this and the Bush tax cuts, I think that we need to make some priorities, and for me, there are two priorities. One is immediate economic relief to working and middle-class families because these times are really tough. That's why we cut taxes for 98% of families last year, why we've done 17 very targeted and important tax cuts for small business, from quadrupling the startup deduction to the one-year freeze on capital gains for small business, the 35% tax credit for health insurance premiums. But we have a number of things right now that we've got to make decisions on. We've got to deal with the estate tax issue that ricochets back January 1, and we do have the Bush tax cut issues. I think the first priority is the economic and tax relief for the middle class. The second part of our top priority is fiscal responsibility, and I think the decisions about the permanent status on some of these tax cuts as well as the high-end tax cuts need to be made in the context of balancing the budget and the recommendations of the Bipartisan Balanced Budget Commission that will be coming out in about a month. I believe that the high-end tax cut should return to the 1990s levels, while noting that the high-end did very well under the economic policies of the 1990s. This isn't about punishing any group. It's about priorities. And tax relief for the middle class is a priority. Fiscal responsibility is a priority, not just for our nation, but it tends to deliver a return to the high-end income earner because of consumer and investor confidence that follows from that.
We are talking with Congressman Tom Perriello, and give us the details before we have to say farewell. Give us the details about the event tomorrow in Charlottesville.
Obviously, we're very excited that the President of the United States is coming to Charlottesville. I think it's an honor for our area, regardless of what party the President is from. It is free and open to the public down at the pavilion on the east end of the downtown mall. People will have to go through security checks, so, you know, bags and things are discouraged. But people are, if we have weather like this today, I think it's going to be a real beautiful night. I think gates are opening up at 5 o'clock, and I don't know the exact details on the schedule, but if you come down to the pavilion, it should be a fun night and a chance to hear from the President. I'll say a few words myself, and we're hoping that people will come out to hear.
And before we say goodbye, your final message here just before the election, your final message for voters here listening broadcast and also online by podcast as well.
First and foremost, I hope people vote on Tuesday. No matter which way you lean politically, I think our democracy is always stronger when more people participate. I really hope that young people come out and participate this year who came out for the first time 2 years ago, and they have figured that everything was going to change and improve in just 2 years. Well, because young people showed up last time, it helped us lead to the largest expansion of student loans and student aid to make college more affordable. It expanded health care opportunities for young people to stay on their parents' plan. It helped move us forward on the science and technology jobs of the future with the R&D investments that were made. So I think people have to understand that when they show up, they get listened to. And so I hope people will show up. And I do think that while these have been very tough times, we had a chance where we could have done nothing and let this country spiral into depression and sort of end the great era of American economic dominance. I think instead we stood on that line and said, not on our watch. We fought back. We've seen 9 months of private sector job growth. I think we are going to see great things in the year and the decade ahead, and I hope people will give us a chance to keep fighting for you and not abandon that and give us the kind of gridlock that could really put this economy into paralysis. So hope people will come out on Tuesday. It's been an honor to serve, and I hope that y'all will give me 2 more years to do so.
Congressman Perriello, thanks for joining us, and good luck on Tuesday.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.